The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Thursday, a day that may be unlike any other we have had here. So much has happened since we last visited. It began last night with Nick Saban making some comments. The final question of an event in Birmingham, Alabama to promote the World Games. And it escalated even higher today. We'll tell you about what Jimbo Fisher said in response. But Saban essentially calling out the A&M recruiting class. If you have not heard it, take a listen.
And my theory on that is everything that we've done in college athletics has always been equal. Your scholarship is equal. They get equal Alston money. They get equal cost of attendance. They get equal academic support. They get equal medical attention. Everything has always been equal. So I told our players, I said, we're going to have a collective, but everybody's going to get the same amount of opportunity from that collective. Now, you can go earn however much you want. And I tell the recruits the same thing. Because our job is not to buy you to come to school here. And I don't know how you manage your locker room, and I don't know if this is a sustainable model, because one of you folks are going to give some player that comes to our school a bunch of money to come to our school. And then you're going to come to the game in full strut, thinking I'm going to tell everybody I got that guy to come to Alabama. And then he's not going to play, and he's going to transfer, and you're going to say, I'm never going to do this again. All right, so I don't know how it works. I don't know how you sustain a model like that. Now, I know that we're going to lose recruits because somebody else is going to be willing to pay them more. But name, image, and likeness is something that's here. And I think the more supporters that we have for the University of Alabama in all sports, that are willing to sponsor players, whatever you want to call it, use them in your business to help your business, that's going to help our programs. The thing that I fear is at some point in time, they're just going to say we're going to have to pay players. If we start paying players, we're going to have to eliminate sports. And this is all bad for college sports. I mean, we probably have, 450 people on scholarship at Alabama, whether they're women's tennis players, women's softball players, golfers, you know, baseball players, non-revenue sports that have for years and years and years been able to create a better life for themselves because they've been able to get scholarships and participate in college athletics. That's what college athletics is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be something where people come and make money. And you make a decision about where you go to school based on how much money you're going to make. You should make a decision based on where you have the best chance to develop as a person, as a student, and as a player, which is what we've always tried to major in, and we're going to continue to do that, and hopefully there's enough people out there that want to do it. But I know the consequence is going to be difficult for the people who are spending tons of money to get players. And you've read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player, all right? But I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
So that was part of what Coach Saban had to say. He also went after the Jackson State program under Deion Sanders and mentioned Miami as well. Jimbo Fisher quickly denied the allegations and then called a news conference essentially to attack Nick Saban as a narcissist.
First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organization. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. That they broke state laws. That they're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen, And it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, and the parity in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parity. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. And it's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families and Texas A&M because we do things right. We're always going to do things right. But we're always going to be here. We're doing a heck of a job. These coaches have done a great job. Our players have done a great job. The whole organization of recruiting people. It's despicable that we got to sit here at this level of ball and say these things to defend the people of this organization, the kids, 17-year-old kids, and their families. It's amazing. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable. It really is. And it's a shame we have to sit up here and have this conversation about things we do. And it's personal to us. Yes, it is. It's personal to A&M. It's personal to our players. It's personal to our coaches and everybody involved. And I know the guy. I know him really well. It's amazing that we're allowed to do those things. It's really despicable. And I hate it. For our players who are coming here, who did things the right way, have done things the right way, and will continue to do things the right way, I apologize to you that people insult you publicly the way they're doing it. And our fans, I apologize to you guys for people saying those things about Texas A&M. But promise you this, there are no violations. There are nothing wrong. It's the second time we've had to do this with grown men who don't get their way and want to pout, throw a fit, and act up. Just go ask all the people who work for him. You'll know exactly what he's about. I always said this. My dad always told me this. When people show you who they are, believe them. He's showing you who he is.
Questions? To the left, Olin.
A couple of things, Jimbo. First of all, have you had any contact with Nick since?
No. Oh, he's called.
You just didn't take the call?
Not going to. We're done.
And
he shows you who he is.
And then I just wanted to.
He's the greatest ever, huh?
And then I just wanted
when you got all the advantages, it's easy.
And I just wanted to just put it point blank. So no players, and you're saying that no players in
there's
the 22
no laws
received
of anything
any
we ever promised, done anything that goes against the laws of the state of Texas, and it's insulting to say a 17-year-old and his family broke laws. No.
Down front, Brent.
You know, y'all had both spoken so highly of each other in the past in terms of what y'all have done in your previous relationship. So how disappointing was it to hear that from him, you know, in terms of, you know, a mentor type to you?
It's disappointing.
Well?
No, I wasn't. No, listen, you coach with people like Bobby Bowden and learn how to do things. You coach with other people and learn how not to do things. There's a reason people don't go, I ain't went back and worked for him with opportunities.
Coach back behind
don't
the lights.
Be associated with it.
Coach, is this an area where you would want to see the league office and the SEC, the commissioner's office, get involved if coaches are putting out specific accusations
yeah,
of
that's
violence?
That's fine. I'm sure they will. They'll reprimand or say something, and we'll move on, I guess. But this is about our players and Texas A&M and the people who work for and the coaches here. That's what this is about. Make a mistake. We're not going anywhere. We have still a lot of work to do. We're not where we want to be. This is going to be a great program, and we're building it into a great program.
Any other questions down front, Travis?
I know everyone saw the initial post from Sliced Bread or whatever, but where do you feel like this is coming from?
You got me. Sliced Bread. Well, but I mean, when coaches say that, come on, man. Especially, never mind, the operation and tactics of certain people who say them, and anybody who coached with him know them, and anybody out there in this business knows it. Amazing. Just go where he's been.
And I know that you don't necessarily, you can't have the conversation with people who do NILs or have that contact, but would you like to see the collective that does
support? I would like to find unified rules across this country to put things in place. That's what I want. And I don't know what those are. I'm not smart enough to figure it out. I don't know what the antitrust laws, all those bylaws, so the government need to step in because this is these things here. And what's funny, in that talk, right before he said that about us, wasn't he soliciting funds from the crowd? It's amazing, wasn't it?
The left, Rob. Well,
when you walk on water, I guess it don't matter.
Howdy, Coach. So you've told us how you don't look at social media. Tell us about when you found out about. I'm right here, Coach.
Mark Robinson called me.
Okay, and how important was it for you to have this press conference so that you could defend your players and your program?
I'm not defending anybody. I'm just giving you the truth. Because I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to hide, and our program has nothing to hide. It'd be interesting if everybody could say that.
Down front, Brent.
Is there some thought on collectives, you know, schools, programs, collectives, universities, collectives? Are you aware of what they do, how they go about it, and
no,
so
I'm not.
Forth?
Okay. I'm
so
not
you have no
in
knowledge of any of
they that have collectives. I know there's a collective here. I don't know who's got what, when's got what. Had no idea last year. That is not what we do or what we're about.
I was going to say, that's by design, you saying, hey, I'm staying out of this.
Yeah, I mean, I have no sponsorships in those things. And that's the truth. Listen, I'm going to tell you one thing. You can call me anything you want to call me. You ain't calling me a cheat. I don't cheat and I don't lie. So I learned that when I was a kid. If you did, the old man slapped you side of the head. Maybe somebody should have slapped him. That's one thing you don't. Now you're fooling with their name. That don't. You're fooling with Texas A&M's name. You're saying with those kids' name and our name. I'll put it with any of them.
Front left, Olin.
Coach SEC.
I ain't into that. I wasn't raised that way.
Yeah, Jimbo, SEC spring meetings are coming up, the media days in a couple of months, and then October 8th. What do you think that's is it going to be awkward?
And awkward about what?
When you have to face it or have to
– I don't mind confrontation. Live with it my whole life. Kind of like it myself.
Anything else? Rob and then Travis?
Backing away from it wasn't the way I was raised.
Coach, what do you say to your players about something like this?
Keep doing the right things and believe in yourself. And I'm sorry that people say those things about you, but I will defend you because I know nothing was wrong. That's what it's about. Talking about setting examples for players and creating value and all those good, you know, talks he has. You know what I mean? Live it. It's amazing.
We'll go Travis and then Brent.
When you talk about uniform legislation.
Setting a hell of an example.
Jimbo Fisher, earlier this morning in College Station, where it didn't end there. The escalation continued throughout the day. Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated talking to Ross Bjork and wondering if Nick Saban did not break an SEC bylaw. He called on the commissioner to look into it and went on to say it was personal. So I don't know why he would say what he said. It is just – so anyway, that's where we are. People are lining up on all sides, and we are going to spend the majority of the program dissecting it. Pete Thamel will be with us in just a few minutes. Booger later on. Billy Lucci with the view from College Station. Chris Fowler, the voice of college football on a late May dust-up. And John Talty from Birmingham, the site of where Nick Saban made the comments. And by the way, somebody asked, Jimbo was talking about Saban soliciting the crowd. The crowd last night, it was an event for the World Games in Birmingham, and every prominent CEO from that community and the state were in the audience. It happened to be the very last question. Jim Dunaway, longtime talk show host in Birmingham, used to host the Nick Saban show, asked the final. It was the final question of the night. It was very late, and people were about to move on when Nick Saban went on his rant. We'll get your reaction. We'll talk to Pete Thamel in a moment. We're here until 7 o'clock. We're not going anywhere, and we hope you'll stick around.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. So let's bring in Pete Thamel here, who covers college football, of course, for ESPN, to put some perspective into this. First of all, Pete, thank you for being here. And I realize it is May 19th, but I'm still somewhat breathless after these 18 or so hours. How have you viewed this last news cycle in college football?
Well, Paul, I've come on your show many times over the years and said you actually couldn't 24 hours ago have scripted better material for your own show on May 19th than just unfolded the last 24 hours. You essentially have the coach of the number one and number two team in the country openly warring with each other, one subtly calling the other one out, or not so subtly, and then the other one going back full-on junior high scorched earth, and then his AD doubles down and threatens to tell the principal. I mean, imagine like Bill Belichick and Sean McVay doing this. It is absolutely stunning, and it touches on so many things, Paul, which makes it interesting, right? I didn't think what Nick Saban said was all that bad. He said they were buying players. Well, guess what? You can buy players now. In a way, I took it as an admission that Texas A&M had a better mousetrap in place, had a better apparatus in place. It was like 10 years ago when Nick Saban complained about where offensive football was going. Well, he eventually went and got the best offense and ran the best spread and ran the best tempo. And it was sort of an admission that Alabama, either willfully or not, was behind Texas A&M. Texas A&M was doing a better job in procuring players through, as far as we know, the right, through the rules as they are now been rewritten. And 5 years ago, buying players was a dirty term. It's really not anymore. It's a way of life.
So let me get to really the story of the day, and that was a result of what Saban said. But there you got these two West Virginians going at it. One maybe a little more nuanced than the other, but just put in context what Jimbo Fisher had to say about not just the greatest football coach of today, maybe of all time, but also one of the most respected figures in American sports. And as you said, he undressed him. He insinuated many, many things that people can draw their own conclusions about, but he didn't leave very much unsaid, did he?
Well, I mean, using the term despicable multiple times.
15.
And don't forget, Paul. I'm glad. That's why the Feinbaum Show exists, to count the despicables. Don't forget, Jimbo worked for Nick. I mean, Nick really gave Jimbo one of his biggest breaks back at LSU in the early 2000s. If I remember right, Jimbo was at Cincinnati before then. So, for him to really go scorched earth on his old boss the way that he did, I mean, it actually hints that there's really more probably to this and more probably in the undercurrent. But that's probably the most surprising part, is you would have to think on some level there's a good relationship there between those coaches, or at least there was at some point. But boy, is there not anymore. And if I could only count the number of popcorn emojis, the number of anything going on in college football today's, the number of administrators, coaches, assistant coaches who've checked in. I mean, the entire college football world is agape right now at this high-level, like, blood feud.
And I want to get to the third rail of all this, and that's something that Russ Bjork said today. Talking about the emperor with no clothes, he called on the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, but I'll leave you to describe where does Greg Sankey fit into this, if anywhere?
I don't think he fits anywhere into it. I think there's part of A&M that still has that second school mentality that's honestly like using this as a way to announce themselves. And that's why I took Ross Bjork's comments. There is no way Greg Sankey is going to sanction Nick Saban on any of this. I thought that was a little bit corny and a little bit lowbrow for A&M to go tattle to the principal about this. I really think that A&M has built a wonderful program. We'll believe it when we see it. Look, that's a school that hasn't won a conference championship in a generation, right? So on the field, they're feeling their oats. They're feeling their recruiting rankings. And look, they are set up in the NIL era because of the money that school has to be a power. I mean, there's no reason why Texas A&M shouldn't be a power. But there's also a sense, before the Ross Bjorks of the world get too chesty, that you have to do it on the field. And they have not done that yet, in no way, shape, or form, under Jimbo Fisher or anyone before him to R.C. Slocum, to be honest. That place has been filled with unfulfilled potential. So I just think before you're going to undress the emperor, you better beat him and win a national championship. And they did beat him last year, but I really think that I think they put the cart before the horse a little bit. And those comments on your show and others are going to keep coming up and keep coming up.
Yeah, Bjork called it a personal attack. He mentioned the SEC bylaw, and he said Saban is lashing out, Pete, because he is threatened. Ross Bjork, of course, has been at this juncture before. So before you go, it doesn't really matter who people side with. It's a bare knuckles brawl. There's no way anybody really comes out of this well. But is anything really going to change? Because it seemed like people that were in the audience watching this in real time, not like we have, a couple of hours later, felt like Saban, I may have gotten my metaphors mixed there, Saban was really trying to send a message, why can't somebody do anything about this?
Well, Paul, I've said this on your show numerous times over the years, and I got a few texts from coaches about it today. This whole episode underscores the impetus of enforcement. I mean, I sat in the back of the federal courtroom and saw like testimony about schools, committing violations. And the NCAA can't even get that right. That was 2017, 5 years ago. Do you think they're going to get around sophisticated outsourced NIL stuff? There's no way. NCAA enforcement is dead. That's the way that the landscape is operating right now. And until the NCAA shows us otherwise, that's the way the landscape's going to go.
Pete Thamel, we will be visiting again, I'm sure, on this and other subjects. Many thanks, Pete. Thanks for joining us. Pete Thamel from...
Enjoy the fodder, Paul.
Thank you. And I know that's what a lot of people have bought their tickets and their popcorn to see. And that is right around the corner. We will get to your calls and your reaction.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. We do want to hear your reaction to what has been going on, and we'll update you as the afternoon goes on. We have been waiting to hear from Deion Sanders, and certainly that's going to be one of the next pieces of this puzzle.
Dion addressed on Twitter, calling Saban's line a lie. We are. What's that, guys? Okay, this is a tweet from Travis Hunter, who's the star player that was heading to Florida State. And I got a mill, but my mom still has a three-bedroom house with five kids. Remember, he was the number one player in the country. Saban insinuated that Jack State bought him, and Coach Prime obviously very upset. We are waiting to hear from Deion Sanders. We have not heard anything since that tweet overnight. I am being told that the two of them, who are Aflac buddies, of course, in that famous commercial, have spoken today, but we don't know any more information out of that. So Saban called Jimbo, didn't talk to him. We believe he's talked to Coach Prime. Let's get some reaction. We've been waiting to do this all day. We'll start with Matt in Texas. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Burger, how you doing, Paul Feinbaum? So the baby Saban's all ticked off because he can't get things his way no more because he's not on top anymore. So what, Saban? Get over it. You're not on top anymore. You're not going to be the king forever, Saban. You want to whine about some more? Shut the heck up already. I can't wait to be playing, Paul, on like October 8th next year. That's going to be a heavyweight fight, Paul. That's my goal, because the guy in the ring says, you ready? You ready? Fight!
Appreciate it. Eddie is up next in Florida. Hello, Eddie. Good afternoon.
Hey, what's up, Paul? And shut the hell up, Matt. You don't have no clue what you're talking about, my man. It ain't going to be no good game. It's going to be a beatdown. Look at the spread that came out. Hey, Paul, is Jimbo Fisher still complaining?
I believe there was a pretty big spread last year, too, Eddie, and at College Station.
Yeah, but it's Tuscaloosa, Paul. You know the deal. You know the freaking deal. So, so is he still complaining? And here's the deal, Paul. This guy, I mean, Saban just said what everybody wanted to say anyway. But this guy come out and say coaches who coach for him and all of this stuff. Well, didn't Jimbo coach for him?
But you have to look at what he said. What he said was essentially, I'll interpret in my view, talk to anyone who's ever worked for Nick Saban, which includes him. But it's also worth remembering Saban offered Jimbo the offensive coordinator's position at Alabama in 2007, and Jimbo turned it down.
Okay, what does that say?
Well, it just says he didn't want to go to work for him again.
Oh, okay, but he's done it though, right? He's honest. That's what he say, right? So if he's so honest, why don't you tell us what Saban is doing?
By the way, it's also factual. Jackson is in College Station. You're on the air. Go right ahead, Jackson.
Paul, first off, let's take a breather. I know you're going through a lot today, all right? I'm sorry that this had to happen. I'm sorry for everything. I'm coming off of a Northgate night. You know, I'm sitting here at the Eagle Dome reflecting on today's controversy. And honestly, I'm a little shocked, you know. I mean, Saban coming out here, first off, after all the boosters are saying, you know, hey, you know, A&M went 8-4 last year. Now it's the first year NIL deals. They got 8 5-star recruits. Bama's first number one recruiting class came after a 7-6 season. So I don't want to hear that. I'm talking to my buddy Trey. And you know what? Jimbo had to come and say something. In the industry, we call it putting your nuts on the table. I mean, it's just unbelievable to me, you know, that someone would stoop so low, to that point, to bring up someone else's family, how they raise their kids, how they talk about how they coach their team. And I'm kind of at a loss for words at this point, to be honest with you. I really don't know what to say.
Well, we appreciate you trying, though. Nathan is up next in Memphis. So hello, Nathan.
Hello, Paul. It's always a pleasure to get to speak to you every time I do. It makes the day better. Paul, this whole situation is the pot calling the kettle black, isn't it? A&M, you know, the NIL is great for college football. The only thing that Jimbo said that I agree with is that somebody from outside of college football needs to come in and put some regulations down, because A&M is going with these great recruiting classes, right, to go 8-4, right, just to go 8-4 and bitch about it all year. They might beat Alabama. Good, you know. Great, good. You need to do that every now and again, just to go 8-4. And something that Saban said made me mad.
They're not just going 8-4. They finished number 4th in the country the year before, and they just had the best recruiting class of all time. So that's what we're talking about. They had a bad year last year, and the pressure is going to be amplified on Jimbo Fisher if he doesn't watch out. But he understands that. That's why he's making nearly $9 or $10 million a year. JK is in Alabama. You're on the air.
Fine ball. What's happening, baby?
JK.
Ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. I keep trying to tell you that playing field is being leveled. Nick knows he cannot compete with Texas money. That goes for A&M and Texas. As the caller said previously, he's not on top right now. He don't have the number one recruiting class. Deion got the number one player in the nation, and he can't deal with it. I don't know what's going on with your boy, Paul.
You tell me. You know everything, JK.
Hey, Paul, you don't have to be condescending to me. This is just a phone call, baby. I'm just calling to get my opinion. Nick can't handle what's going on. He just need to get over it. Just get over it. Get over himself. That's mainly what he needs to do. He didn't have any problem when he got Tua down here with his whole family. Who paid them to come down here? He needs to tell on himself. Everybody paid players at some point way before the NIL deal. Now he's whining and complaining like a little girl.
Well, I agree with one part of that, JK. I think anyone in the platform of college football right now that acts like they are sacrosanct is making a mistake. And you know, everybody's saying, I mean, Jimbo's admitting, hey, we did it. We didn't break any rules. He's not. But Saban's acting like they've never done anything at Alabama. So, I mean, none of that really matters because, frankly, there's nobody looking into it anyway. And Saban admitted that.
And you know what, Paul? He didn't have a problem when Jimbo went 8-4 after even beating him.
But to me, JK, it sounded like Saban is frustrated with the people that run the sport.
He didn't have any problem with him when he was on top and had the number one recruiting class.
So you act like he's coming off of a 4-8 season. He finished number two in the country last year after winning the title the year before.
No, Paul, he is acting like that, not me. That's Nick Saban, the great. You know, the best coach of all time.
Thanks for the call. John is up next in Louisville. Hey, John.
Oh, my God, what a day. I was going to talk about learning the new term gobsmacked. I had to look it up.
Gobsmacked. It's a British term.
That was the headline in ESPN until Jimbo came on. And now I'm going to keep that phrase, ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. But, my quick thoughts. I thought Nick was 100% right. All he said is they bought the players. They did. And Jimbo brings up that Shakespearean term from Hamlet. Do I think the lady protests too much, do you think?
Well, but I think it all depends on what the end game is here. If it's about playing to your base, Jimbo Fisher did quite well. His base loved it. I've heard from friends of mine in College Station today, and he can do no wrong. To me, if you look at what Jim, what Saban said is essentially true overall. But what Jimbo said about Saban personally is something that is going to be hard to walk past. I mean, he called the greatest coach in college football essentially a fraud.
Oh, he called him a narcissist as well. And I'm thinking, who's calling the kettle black? I think when you have a weak argument, as Jimbo did, I think you go after a person on a personal basis, and I think that's wrong.
Well, it's wrong if you're not defending your program. Now, did Jimbo overshoot the runway? Maybe. But he had to respond. Nick Saban said point blank he bought every player in the class. Is Jimbo supposed to roll over and say, thank you, sir, may I have another?
But he didn't deny it.
He flat out denied it.
Well, in a way, he didn't, because let's face it,
we can replay the 11 minutes of tape, but I'm pretty sure he denied it. We'll take a break. We have a long way to go. We hope you'll stick around. 855-242-7285 is our number. More guests to come.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. We are in the first hour only. It's been quite a show already. Let's check in with John in Fort
Worth.
Yes, sir. Hello, John.
Good afternoon. I appreciate you taking a call from me, sir.
Thank you.
I must say, first off, I'm an Aggie, class of 66. And I'm not a big donor, but I do have season tickets, and I know people who are connected, and they have told me that this was a clean recruiting program down there this year. They've told me that all the T's were crossed, all the I's were dotted. I hate to see a food fight going on here in our conference, because I really enjoy being a part of the Southeastern Conference. I think you're going to see this heat up and get real ugly when you get the Longhorns over here. The rumors are that they were offering $50,000 for offensive linemen, and not a word has been said about that. So I really hate to see members of the conference go at each other's throat before the real culprits come over here in a couple of years.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, if it can get worse than this, I'll be eager to check that one out. Let's check in with Trey in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Trey.
Hey, Paul, got a few questions for you today. Like the last guy just said, something about somebody was offered $50,000. Paul, why are we arguing about all this? Is it not okay to do that now? I guess that's what I don't understand.
I mean, it is in theory, and
I understand that
so
we get
it
under control.
What Saban said, 10 years ago would have knocked everyone off their chair. Today, what he said is really not that surprising.
Right,
yeah,
I would like to get your definition of what being on top means, because if I'm not mistaken, Saban did beat Georgia last year with no doubt one of his weakest teams since 2010, and Georgia had. And I've given Georgia tons of credit this year. So for Saban to be able to do that one time, I thought was pretty amazing. I thought it was one of his best coaching jobs he's done since he's been there. And he's finished number two. He was an SEC champion. He finished number two in recruiting, and he's favored to win it next year. So I think I'd like to know what being on top means, because – and I don't understand, like Matt and JK said – he's upset because he's not on top? Well, what's wrong with being upset because you weren't number one in recruiting or you didn't win the national championship?
I think the operative word came from Ross Bjork when he said that Saban felt threatened. I mean, it's one thing for Jimbo to get into a tete-a-tete with another coach, but I find it extraordinary that an athletic director got in the middle of the fight. I mean, of course, Ross Bjork was at Ole Miss a couple years ago in the middle of all that stuff there, and he got very involved. I remember we had Ross and Hugh Freeze on our set one year in Destin, but I don't know if that's getting enough attention. I mean, Pete Thamel took a major shot at Bjork for doing that, but that was maybe as surprising as anything I've seen all day. The athletic director at Texas A&M calling on the commissioner to sanction Nick Saban for violating a bylaw. Nick Saban just accused Texas A&M of buying every player in their class, and the athletic director comes back and says, well, you may have violated some bylaw by attacking us. Were you surprised by that?
Yes.
I thought maybe I was the only one. MJ is in North Carolina. Hello, MJ.
Yes, Paul. Thanks for taking my call today.
Thank you.
I just want to make a few comments. Can you hear me okay, sir?
I can.
Okay.
Yeah, you sound like you're in a car wash. Let's see if we can get you back in a better – when you're out of the car wash, when the wax machine slows down. Kobe is up next in Georgia. Hey, Kobe.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We're well. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. It's just, I'm a Bama guy, so I just wanted to defend Nick Saban to an extent. It's just, everybody since National Signing Day has been saying the exact same things. A&M has bought players, blah, 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 blase, blase. And when it comes down to it, I mean, in 2018, Jimbo had 0 5-stars signed in that class. 2019, he had 2. 2020, he had 2. 2021, he had 1 5-star. Then NIL is introduced, and he ends up with 7 5-stars in the highest recruiting class of all time. I'm not going to say he did anything, but at the end of the day, it does seem very, very conspicuous that happens. But at the end of the day, Saban never said he was cheating. Saban never said he was doing anything against the law.
Hold on a second. When you use the phrase "buy," you're insinuating something nefarious. I mean, we may be splitting hairs, but that was a pretty strong word. Max is in College Station. Hey, Max.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
Or Paul, I'm sorry. Jimbo, the reason Jimbo's so upset, what I think a lot of people don't understand, is that Texas A&M takes a lot of pride in things. And being a military school with tradition, you've been to College Station, that money isn't the sole reason why we got these players, you know? And I think part of this is possibly a publicity stunt. What do you think?
A publicity? What part of this is a publicity stunt?
I mean, I think this is all drama. It's all for the views, and this is going to be one of the biggest games
next
year.
I don't think what Nick Saban said last night was drama. I've heard him say it privately, and what Jimbo Fisher said today was certainly not a publicity stunt. I mean, he attacked one of his mentors. He said he was essentially the antithesis of Bobby Bowden. He called him a narcissist. He said he had a God complex. And he said, if you look into his past, anyway, we'll finish that thought in a moment.